Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. And now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we don't deserve to have this show. We really like, we're going to talk about it in just a little bit, but really, honestly, we should just give up.
That's fair.
We love you people. We're glad to be here. Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, man?
Man, I'm happy to be here. That's where we are right now. We're just happy to be here.
I had this overwhelming fear. I actually got here about 15 minutes early, and then when you didn't show up, when you said you were going to show up, I had this overwhelming fear that it wasn't going to happen. If it didn't happen, I was going to be really, really depressed.
Start breaking things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but you had a good reason. You have a really good reason, which we'll talk about in a second.
Yes.
But before we get to that, what's on the show this week, sir?
That's a good question. We are back to normal shows after the saddest E4 that we have ever done. So E4 is officially over. Like E3, it was a disappointment this year. But that doesn't mean the show is. We've got lots of stuff to talk about, including close to the resolution of the Epic Apple kind of battle that's been going on for years now. We are nearing at least the end of that. We've got some stuff about AI and how that is affecting actors in the video game industry who are currently on strike over trying to negotiate better terms about that. We'll talk about that. We've got a couple of games to discuss. Legend of Zelda Echoes of... Goodness, what is it? Echoes of something. That's how out of Echoes of Wisdom. There it is. Man, out of practice we are. Has some new content. We'll talk about our new video about the game, and we'll talk about that and a handful of other things. We'll see what we get to. But we're just happy to be here. We may not talk about any of the news, so we just got to catch up because you and I haven't talked.
No, we have not.
Got a lot of catching up to do. So everybody gets to listen to us like, hey, how's it been going, man?
I've been stuck in my house for 6 weeks because I was without a vehicle for 6 weeks. And in that 6 weeks, I did not see you, which is insane. Anybody that has been paying attention on Facebook knows why I have not seen you, because you have two fabulous children who are having fabulous lives, but in an attempt to give them fabulous lives, you have no life.
This is spot on. So that is 100% correct.
Yeah, that's where we've been. He's been dealing with his kids, and I've been sitting over here twiddling my thumbs, going, I need to be 600 miles closer.
That would help.
Yeah, it would help a lot. That being said, I can't believe I'm going to open the show with this, but I have to say it. Your daughter is a first grader.
This is true. That's absolutely wild.
Like, what?
Yeah, just mind-boggling. And in a month, my son will be one. He turns a year old.
What?
In a month. Yeah. He's walking, which wasn't the case last time we did a show. Like, it just, little dude figured it out, and it's just like going everywhere now.
You have a year old son who I have not met yet. Which is wild. Absurd.
It is wild.
Because I spent a week with your daughter when she was like a week old. I haven't even met the kid. What? No!
Yeah.
It's not wild. Cool.
No. It is totally a mind-boggling situation we are in now. But that's where we are. And as you said, it just eats up every single bit of life, just ridiculously. So we're getting to like some routine with school starting back and whatever, but the last month has just been chaotic craziness of constantly just wildness. And so looking forward to some routine, which will also mean looking forward to some more regularity on the show here, that we will be back to not every month or so, but every week or so coming up. And so that'll be nice.
We have to get back to it before I lose my mind. I literally am on the edge of losing my mind. I've done, we talked about it right before we fired up the mics here. I played lots and lots of games, but I have not played a lot of any game. And on top of that, I've watched lots and lots of TV, but I've not watched lots and lots of any single show.
Yeah.
So I have, because I had a big event in my life, which I guess we should probably talk about, I am now completely and totally ensconced in Apple. I have switched to an iPhone.
Welcome.
I have a huge watch on my wrist. I feel like I got like a Star Trek communicator on my wrist.
Yes.
Like 3 pounds this thing. So I've got this big new watch. I've got this fancy new phone, which honestly, we like technology. You like your phone. You use it all the time. But if we're being real honest, we grew up in an age where the phone didn't matter. Like, I had some kid tell me the other day, like, what did your parents do when you were like a kid and they didn't know where you were because they couldn't track you on the phone? And I was like, they threw us out the door and told us not to come back until the streetlights went out, right, came on. Like, that's how that was. And he was like, really? Yeah, that's pretty much how it went. So like, I'm not like enamored by the new phone the way most people are. It's like, but the watch is pretty cool. And the thing that I'm more excited about, which I should have done when I bought this computer, but I took Apple up on their very generous offer of 3 months of Apple TV. And so I've been watching Ted Lasso, which is fabulous.
Yes.
And I have been watching For All Mankind, which is very interesting. I'm very interested. It's cool.
I'm going to stop you real quick. You got bumped off the mic and lost you a little bit.
Yeah, sorry.
There you are.
There we go.
Yes. For All Mankind is fabulous.
Yes.
I adore that show. It's soap opera-ish at times to a point that kind of makes me cringe a little bit. But the concept is just so good. This alternate history thing is so good. I love it. I really, really enjoy that show. Ted Lasso, obviously amazing. Apple TV has just fantastic content. Severance, if you haven't watched Severance yet.
I have not gotten Severance yet. No.
There's a bunch of other ones I can't even think of on the top of my head. But yeah, those are kind of my three favorites, I think, of the Apple TV stuff. It's so good.
Well, I will say, for as good as the content is, the app is awful.
Yes, the app is so bad.
It's really bad.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
You can't figure out what you have access to. Like, there's movies in there, and you click on the movie, and it's like, you can purchase this in iTunes. And I'm like,
right.
What? That makes no sense.
Yeah, it's so bad.
It's horrible. It's awful. Apple, if you're listening, fix your freaking app.
Yes.
Because it's really bad.
But your content is great.
Yeah, content's great. So I've been doing that. I finished Stranger Things last weekend. Man, that show. That is
That's season four.
Yeah.
Pretty dark.
Yeah. It's more than pretty dark. It's like, oof.
Yeah. The first time, like, the body, like, dismembers, but, like, you know, like, yeah, the whatever, what's the word, I don't know what the word I'm looking for there, comes apart without breaking, just like limbs move in ways they're not supposed to. Well, and like, it's so gnarly,
it discombobulates.
Yes, discombobulate is a good word. Amazing. It's so good. That four seasons, so weird but so good. But yeah, just gets very dark. it's a very different place than where it starts.
Lots of stuff going on, and I can't focus on one single thing. Duff is really, really frustrated with me right now, because I will play a couple hours Cyberpunk and text him about it and go, that was really cool, and then not touch it for 2 weeks.
Yes.
Because I get distracted by other things. So he's really unhappy. I know you're a lot in the same boat with all of this. I think it's funny how when we're off the air, you guys don't realize how much our lives in general parallel each other.
Yeah.
They just do. Because you haven't had a lot of time to do much of it. You've done a lot of stuff, but you haven't done much of anything.
Yeah, that's what we need to do, is we just need to go down the list of what we've been playing. And just like, because I'm curious about what you've been playing. There's some stuff that we both played a little bit of that I want to make sure we talk about. And so we just need to like dig into a whole bunch of random games really quickly. I'll mention probably the least of which has been Final Fantasy. We're still working on
Final Fantasy.
Barely had time to touch it. I've put in a couple hours since last we did a show, which was over a month ago.
Yeah. So
not a lot of Final Fantasy has happened. It's still fantastic, but I don't really have anything new to say about it because I haven't hardly touched it. One I do want to get your thoughts on that I've put a little bit of time into. I know you put a little bit. I think I got a little bit more time into it. It's No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
You told me that you were picking it up, so I picked it up. It's on Game Pass, which is fantastic, yep. And so it's easy to pick up. They just put out a new update, a game that's old at this point. Like, when did No Man's Sky come out? It's, you know,
10 years ago. It's been like 10 years.
It's crazy. And it looks fabulous.
Yes.
Such a pretty game, which, again, for a game that's as old as it is at this point, obviously has been supported. That makes a difference, but still very pretty. Fascinating game. Weird. It is. Like, it's not at all what I expected it to be. And I didn't go in with like a firm expectation of it being something specific. I really like it, and I don't know what to do with it. Like, that's where I am with it. Like, okay. It really intrigues me. And I've you know, put a chunk enough time into it to kind of feel like I have some sense of what it is. And yet I don't feel like I have much of a sense of what it is.
Well, I think it's because the reason you don't have a sense of what it is because it doesn't really have a lot of direction. And I don't mean that. When I say direction, I don't mean hand-holding. It doesn't really have... It has a story, but it doesn't really have, you don't boot up the game and go, okay, this is where I'm going. And this is what really frustrated me with it, because I booted up the game, and in the first 30 seconds, the HUD comes up and it says, you're about to die. And as a handicapped guy with like no reflexes, That's not a good way to start a game. like seriously, the first 30 seconds is like, you're about to die. And I'm like, oh, crap. Like, what's going on here? And like, for the first few quests, like, I'm like going around, like, digging through menus, trying to figure out how to build stuff. And it's not obvious. And you Google it. And like, every YouTube video that you look at, unlike most games, they sort of assume that you've been in the game for a while. And so, like, I couldn't figure out how to build the refiner for like a couple of hours. like they're just like, you open the build menu by pressing this button on the console, and it's easy, you just click. And I'm like, great, but I'm on PC. What button is it? It literally took a couple hours to find the build menu in the game.
Yeah.
And it just, stuff like that really irritates me, because as we've talked about ad nauseum on this show, neither one of us have time for that.
Yeah.
And I know you have put more time into it, because I think you've actually gotten up into space and kind of flown around a little bit. But just my general impressions, the thing that bothers me about it is like it just kind of throws you in and says go. And I was talking to our buddy Drew Hicks about this the other day. He says that something like Elite Dangerous is very much the same way. Yeah. They're very similar games. They just sort of throw you in and say, here's the game.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah. And I kind of like that about it, because it is this, like, the story, as much as it is, as there is to the game, is about, like, you've lost your memory. You don't know why you're here. You're like marooned in space kind of thing, and trying to figure out what happened ish. And so, like, that idea of like, I just woke up, what's happening, you know, like, makes a lot of sense. But yeah, it's just not intuitive. It's a game that makes you work in ways that it shouldn't have to make you work. Like, it's obvious that it's not a like AAA mainstream game, in that no. Like, they didn't put in like all the stuff to handhold to a certain extent. Like, I like to be handheld a little bit in my games at this point. Like, I don't want to have to search through menus. Like, that's it's just not, the user interface isn't super intuitive. The way that you build things, the way that your inventory works, that kind of stuff. Like, it, once you learn it, you're like, oh, okay, I understand how it works, but it's not intuitive. It's not something that you just pick up and go, oh, okay, yeah, this is like lots of other games I've played. Like, it just takes some effort that isn't necessarily fun, right?
Right.
And not that every component of a video game needs to like trigger that joy center in your brain and like, yeah, I'm enjoying this right now. This is fun right now. Like, sometimes you just got to navigate a menu. But still, like, that being an impediment to getting to stuff that is fun is a problem. And so I think to get to the stuff that is fun, which I've gotten to and am thoroughly enjoying, but the kind of effort to get over that hump, like, you have to be dedicated to it to get there. And this is a game that, if the concept hadn't intrigued me as much as it does, and part of it's the hype of just as a game we've been talking about for 10 years and I'm finally playing it, like, I would have stuck with it. And I got to the point that it's rewarded me for sticking with it. I'm really interested by it. Like, I've expanded on some more story. I've got like some big goals to do now and all that kind of stuff. Jumped across multiple planets, found like this moon that's just loaded with minerals. And so I'm like, ah, this place is awesome. I'm going to put a base here that I can teleport to. You get all this stuff that you're eventually doing, and you're like, okay, now I'm feeling like I get it. But that took that like initial like couple of hours of just going, okay, like,
right,
why do I need to find sodium? Why do I need to find oxygen? Like, what is, okay, because I'm dying and I need this to refresh that. And oh, okay, like, now the screen is blinking red. I probably should figure that out. You know, like, it just isn't like super hand-holdy. And I need that a little bit.
Now, if you take the 2 hours or a couple of hours that you just talked about and multiply it by 10,
right,
that's where I was, because I'm like, a game that is hard to play it's 10 times as hard for me because like I'm digging through menus and like I haven't gotten to the fun part yet. And I texted you and I was like, I'm not quitting. I'm going back to it. But I don't have, you know, 6 hours or whatever it's going to take me to get through. Like, I'm ready to jump off into space. And I'm debating with myself, do I jump off into space or do I stay? Because the thing that is curious to me about it is there's a whole bunch of crap on the planet where you start, which, by the way, one cool thing that they did that I've never seen before, nobody starts on the same planet.
Right.
Right? So the planet I'm on is not the planet that you started on. And there's all this cool crap on the planet that you start on, but you can't do anything with it because you don't have anything. You don't have an Atlas key. You don't have anything.
Yeah.
So my whole thing before I kind of quit and went to something else was, do I stay here or do I jump off into space? If I jump off into space, do I come back? Like, what? There's all this stuff here. Do I just, what do you do? Like, it's sort of kind of overwhelming. And we've been playing games for a long time. I'm not overwhelmed easily, but No Man's Sky is sort of kind of overwhelming.
It very much is. And it just continues to be. That's the one constant is like, because I jumped off the first planet, went to another planet, and I'm like, oh, screw the first planet. I haven't been back to my first planet because like I was barely surviving on it. It was a harsh planet.
Yeah.
The second planet I got to was a lot easier to survive on and was way bigger. And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to kind of set up a base here. And then you go to a space station and that kind of opens up some of the like other beings that you can start like trading with and that kind of stuff. And then that opens up like warp drive where you could actually start going and exploring the universe a little bit more and go into different kind of planetary systems. And so then you're just like out going and I'm like, screw whatever planet I was on. Like, I just want to go to the next one. Like I haven't found a planet yet that I'm like, oh, I got to go back to that one. That like there's all the resources that I found on the previous planet on the new planet, plus the new planet is more interesting in some meaningful way, you know? And so like, there's this kind of progression to it that I feel so far, but like not to a end goal. Like, it's just like the exploration side of it, which is cool. And I'm really liking that. Cool.
It reminds me in Mass Effect of scanning the planets. Like,
for sure.
Like, nobody likes to scan the planets in Mass Effect. Nobody likes to do that. You do enough of it to get to where you need to go. And this is kind of the same. The same way. And the other thing that's crazy about it is on YouTube, I'm like, if you look up and you start asking what kind of resources you need in the game to be successful, there are guides that are like, you need 5,000 of this and 10,000 of that. If you'll just spend 15 hours mining, you'll be fine. And then you search again and there's some dude out there that's like, ah, screw that. Just go buy it all.
Right.
And so, like, there's no defined direction on how to really be successful in the game. And I should appreciate that as a hardcore gamer, but I really don't.
Yeah, and I don't even mind that there's not a direction to how to be successful. I don't know what it means to be successful.
Right.
Like, I don't know what I'm trying to accomplish at this point. Like, there's, you know, like micro goals that it kind of sets out for you as you're going along. And so, like, oh, I did that one. Now I need to, you know, upgrade my ship to be able to go here and I need to do this. But, like, the story is so ambiguous. Like, this, like, weird, mysterious, like, what happened to
the
me
kind of thing. The anomaly and the whole thing.
All that stuff. And it's kind of interesting, but it's not enough that like I've felt a need to dive back into it. It honestly, to me, is like a more brainless game that's kind of fun just to go around and like explore and mine and find what you can find. But I still need a purpose for that. Like the place that I stopped at is like the next thing I need is like this crazy amount of stuff. I'm like, oh, that's going to take a long time. That like 15 hours kind of thing. I'm like, eh, I'm not really interested in that right now. And I went and played something else. And that's, you know, like yeah. I need a reason to get back into it without having that kind of barrier of like, I'm just going to go spend 15 hours mining on random planets until I happen upon what I need. Like I need something that's giving me a little bit more direction. Like one of the quests I have right now is to go find a black hole. And I'm like, that sounds cool. Yeah. I want to go do that, you know, but like to get to the stuff that I need to do that, I need to do these other things. I'm like, I want to, but I don't know if I have that commitment to it.
I'm right there with you. I feel the same way. Like I really want to play it. I really want to like it. I'm jonesing for space. I think that's why I'm watching For All Mankind, because I love me some freaking space. Yes. And For All Mankind with Dolby Vision and Atmos, like it's the most wonderful thing, and to watch in the darkest room possible. Like it is so cool I'm digging it. And so I really want to be in a really good space sim, and I want that to be it, but right. I don't think it is.
Yeah.
And like I think part of the reason that we are struggling with it, I came up with an idea that it is, you and I never really played Minecraft. I mean you probably played more of it than I did, but I haven't played like like 10 minutes maybe. I just don't care. What No Man's Sky is, and what Elite Dangerous is, I think, which I really want to install Elite Dangerous, because I think Elite Dangerous is probably prettier. Like it's a more grittier like space thing. I really want to check it out, but I think both of them have that Minecraft aspect of it. You gotta mine all this crap, and you gotta build the base, and you gotta like survive. And you're like, to me, No Man's Sky feels very Minecrafty, and in a way, is the exact reason why I didn't want to play Minecraft, because I don't care about boring through the planet's surface to get to some crap. Don't care.
I'm with you there. So that's No Man's Sky, a game that's been out for 10 years that we're finally talking about. What other games do we need to talk about?
Well, okay. So you know, I've been playing Marvel's Midnight Sun for a while, and you're going to laugh at this, because I've been doing, if there's one thing that you and I know how to do, if it's something that we like, it's grind. Okay. And that's because Midnight Suns is a Firaxis game. I'm like, I'm not gonna screw around with this. I'm gonna build up my home base, so to speak. I'm gonna get all the tools so that when I really start playing the game, like I'll have all the stuff that I need to like really start playing the game. And so I played the first mission, and then from that point on, I've just been doing general missions, which are randomly generated, and they just keep popping up. And like I've been getting more money and more resources and all of that kind of stuff, so I can build up my character before I actually start playing the game. I played the game for like 19 in-game days before I got to the second story mission of Midnight Suns and came across Spider-Man. Two things I want to talk about on that. I think the story missions of that game are going to be really cool. And secondly, the guy that plays Spider-Man in the Spider-Man games on PlayStation, which, by the way, we need to go back to Spider-Man 2.
Yes, we do.
Is the same voice for Spider-Man in Midnight Suns, which is fabulous.
Yeah.
It's fabulous. And now that I'm kind of inclined to go through the story, I feel like I've got things built up to a point that I could actually play the game and not get smoked. I'm really excited because it's a Marvel superhero type story. The reason I bring this up, going back to No Man's Sky, is that Midnight Suns has given me enough direction to know, okay, I need this, I need this, I need this, and I need this to be successful. And that's what I've spent the last several weeks doing, is just building that up. And the reason that I haven't been willing to really do that in No Man's Sky as opposed to Midnight Suns is because I know what the direction is. I know what the stuff that I'm going towards will do for me and how much easier it's going to make the game in the long run. So I don't mind grinding general missions, but I got to have some sort of direction.
Yeah.
And that's what Midnight Suns does better than No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
And it just, it really makes a difference. I think it's going to be a fabulous game. I think if you ever had any time, I think you would thoroughly enjoy it because it's card based and you're like, I'm getting
it's the, Marvel XCOM.
Like, yeah, like I'm what's getting not to like I'm getting to the point where like I've got like I can build like modded playing cards to add to my deck, which each card does a different thing, and you put a mod on top of the card. It's fabulous. I mean, we're card game geeks. We geek out about this stuff. And I really, if you actually had time to start playing it, you would love this thing. Like, this thing would suck your soul.
Yeah, I have it. It's on my system. But yeah, to get into it. I'm going to take that. This is not the way that I thought this conversation would go, but it's actually tying in well to the games that we've been playing take the opposite of what we've just been talking about, a game that does the exact opposite of how we've been describing No Man's Sky specifically. And that's Crime Boss Rockay City, which I put some time into because our boy Duff hooked me up with it. This will probably look nice on your 4070. And he was right. It does look very nice on the 4070. And it's an interesting little game. But it is the inverse of everything that we're talking about, in that it is like purely goal-based and not the exploration side of stuff. We saw, you know, all the hype up and the videos and all the actors that they've got, which is fantastic. Like, it is just goofy and fun and ridiculous in that. Like, Chuck Norris shows up. Like, Chuck Norris is, like, hunting you, and you're like, what is this even? But it's cool, you know? Like, Danny Trejo was in there, and, like, just on and on. It's just ridiculous. But all that to say, I had in my mind that it was an open world game because it looks like an open world game and how like they were marketing it. It's not at all. Like, it is a pure mission game. Like, you get missions, like there's a map of the city and you can go do missions.
Yep.
And they're relatively short. They're relatively simplistic, kind of high stuff. But it's not like there is a little bit of grindiness to it and that kind of stuff. But it's not like there's nothing, at least in what I've played of it. And to be fair, I haven't played a ton of it, but I've played enough of it to get a fairly good sense of what it is. Like, there's just not that exploration, like, let's just see what happens kind of side of it. Like, it's so mission centric that I'm kind of missing that, in that, like, there's a balance there somewhere, right? Like, between what No Man's Sky is and what Crime Boss Rockay City is. Like, I need you to find, like, that happy middle ground, which is, you know, an open world game like Grand Theft Auto, which is obviously massively difficult to do and everything. And, like, I get that. Like, there's good games out there that exist in that space. Crime Boss Rockay City is, like, $15 on Steam at this point. Not on sale. Like, that's just the price it is, I think. I just looked it up. And so it's not supposed to be, like, that big AAA kind of full-fledged game, and so you don't go into it expecting that. But it is fun. It is goofy. Like, it is, like, again, like, just seeing, like, famous people that you recognize in this, which will tie into the AI story we'll get to here in just a little bit. It's an interesting component of that. But it is just fun, goofy, if you just want to like check your brain at the door and have like a shooter game that has some minor sneaking and heist elements to it, because it does, you kind of, the heists are kind of fun, and there's a little bit of strategy that goes into it, but you could just run and gun for all of them too, and that typically works, at least so far in my experience. It's just dumb fun game. If you're looking for a dumb fun game, it's one that you can get relatively cheap.
Well, crap, there's another one I gotta go pick up. I mean, for crying out loud.
Yep, it's ridiculous. I'll mention two more really quick, because again, and one of them's not even Blatro. I know we've been playing. So I'll mention just really briefly, Ninja Turtles. And the reason that I have played Ninja Turtles is because Genevieve has decided that she enjoys playing Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I got booed! I got booted!
I know. I hate to break it to you in this way.
Got booted by your daughter!
Who is right here, by the way. She just showed up. Like, her
wow.
Name.
So,
you want to talk about Ninja Turtles?
Yes!
We are literally on the last boss. I think we're on the last boss. We're on Super Shredder in the game, and we just got to finish beating Super Shredder, and I think we'll have beaten it. So we have put a good chunk of time, she and I. It was very hard. Super Shredder is very tough. We have kind of coasted through the game up until that point.
You have to fight him only when he's on his knees. It's not fair.
Yeah.
It's really not fair.
It's really not fair.
It's super not fair. I love that you totally just threw me under the bus. Decided to finish a game with your daughter. I love it. It's fabulous.
It's Ninja Turtles, and so, you know, we had to do what we had to do.
Yeah.
It is a brilliant game. Shredder's Revenge is just fantastic. And so, coming from our era of playing beat-em-ups and Ninja Turtle beat-em-ups at that, we played those kind of games.
But the favorite one is the one you're on the boards.
You like the ones on the hoverboards?
Yeah, the hoverboards are cool. I like the hoverboards.
Who's your favorite character to play as?
Who is it again?
I think Leonardo, wasn't it? You were playing
the blue one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Leonardo's your favorite.
Yeah. She likes the swords.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leonardo's pretty good. So.
That's good stuff.
So yeah, that's what we've done. We've played through Ninja Turtles, which is fantastic.
Well, all right. I should totally be offended, but so yeah, that is something I did not expect to hear. I would be very interested to see some video of that. I'd like to know how that went. That's really, really cool. I think we were playing Ninja Turtles games when we were about her age.
Yeah.
Maybe just a smidge older, but not much.
Pretty close. That's about when Ninja Turtles happened.
Yeah, that's a little freaky.
Because we're old.
Yes, we are. Absolutely. We made it like... Daddy. 30 Thank minutes you. Into the show, and we didn't say that. But that is absolutely unbelievable. Does she have anything else to add since we're on? I mean, she's right there. So,
anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Ninja Turtles no. Or playing Zelda? She's been playing some Zelda.
Ooh.
She's been playing. Zelda. Well, Zelda is a girl. Link, who you play as in the game, is a boy.
I know.
So which one did we play?
You what? That one's not out yet, but we're gonna talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't need to answer it.
Yeah, which one have we been playing? That's what I'm curious about.
Tears of the Kingdom.
Ooh. Just
running around in Tears of the Kingdom.
Ooh, that's good stuff.
I'm trying
stuff.
To get into a place that I can just sleep in.
Oh yeah.
For the older time, and then go and then know where it is for the older time, so I can just go back sleep.
Little girl, you don't sleep in real life. Why would you sleep in a video game?
Because you can sleep in a video game?
You can sleep in real life, too, you know.
Yeah. I know. I hate sleeping in real life.
We do know.
We know. Yes. You've been that way your whole life. You've never liked sleep.
That's scary. Yeah, that is a scary game. All right. I'll see you in a little bit, okay?
So basically what you just saw, ladies and gentlemen, is something that we thought would never happen on this show. This is what our life is at this point.
Yes.
You got your kids. I've got my nieces and the people that they hang out with. This is our life at this point.
Yes.
And it's a little weird.
It is.
I gotta be honest.
Strange. So that said, what other game have you been playing?
So I have played about 3 hours of Once Human, which I know you got boys that are playing that. I played a little bit of that. It does not have the same problem that No Man's Sky has. There's not just a really serious story there, but it has a thing called the journey. And essentially, if you just follow the journey, it tells you exactly what to do. I'm like level 2, and I'm like, I'm going to wander off the path here just for a second and see what happens. And I walked into some fog, and I immediately got owned.
Nice.
So that's one of those that you don't really go exploring until you're, you know, a few levels in. But it does a much better job of what we were just talking about. It doesn't seem to me. I've watched somebody play several hours of it, and I've played a couple hours of it. It doesn't seem to me to be something that would keep me engaged.
Yeah.
But it's also extremely weird. And there's a ton of people playing it.
There are a lot of people playing it. And the fact that it's free helps, you know, like once right. you kind of get into that world and feel like you kind of know what you're doing. That's what, because I've talked to my buddies who have been playing it, and they're kind of like, it's all right, but it's free. You know, like yeah. that's kind of general. Like, it's not bad. It's not the best game you ever played, but it's free. And I'm kind of like, yeah, but I could buy games. And
well, okay, that's Game what Pass I was about like, to say. Like,
I don't need a free game.
We're at a place in our lives that if we want to play a game, A, let's play a good game, and B, it doesn't necessarily have to be free. Like
right.
I'm going to spend some money on a good game. Like, I bought Midnight Suns, and I'm glad yeah. I did.
Yeah.
Because it's a good game. And so... Yeah. We're in a way different place than we were when we started this, which is a weird feeling because like you said, we do hang out with people that are not in the place that we are. Like I talk to a lot of people about this show, and every time that I talk to somebody about the show, they you tell them you have a podcast, and they immediately think of somebody like Pat McAfee. And I go, well, we're not that big, but we're big enough that, like, you know, we've got some really nice guys that take care of us, and neither one of us has really paid for a game in like 5 years, and yep. that's just not something everybody has, for and sure. I understand that, but that's a really good way to put it. It's pretty good for a free game, but I don't necessarily need a free game at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
by the way, thanks Patreon guys. A nice segue into that. Kevin, Jose, Nark, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, and Jordan. Thank you all for your support, helping us buy games, pay for games, play games, and every once in a while talk about games. So we get to catch up a lot here, but these are games that you have mostly bought, and we appreciate that from you all. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, go by gamingUncensored.com, click that Become a Patron button. You can do that there.
Before we move on, I have to say that I randomly texted the Cabbage this week and asked him nice. What he was playing, and he said, dude, I'm playing Monster Hunter. And all I could think was, were you playing Monster Hunter the last time I talked right. to you?
We haven't talked to Cabbage in so long, yeah. and that's exactly why you're playing.
He's still playing Monster Hunter. The other thing that blows my mind is like when I talk to him or a few of the other guys that are probably shocked that I have them in my phone, the question I get most often is, are you guys still doing the show?
Yep.
And I want to go, wow, I guess that means you're no longer listening. Okay, cool. yeah, there's that.
That's painful, but true.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it. So all that said, we do have some news and we're already running out of time. So just really quickly here, we'll hit a couple of these. I mentioned Epic and Apple. So just an update of where that whole saga has been. Again, it's been going on for years at this point. Epic has now said, Tim Sweeney, the CEO, has said that they estimate that their lawsuits with Apple and Google, just to be fair, this is both Apple and Android that they have been kind of fighting with. Remember, this goes back to Epic being able to have their own storefront essentially on these platforms. Apple very much against that, Android to a lesser degree, but still not pro exactly what Epic wanted to do. Epic took them to court over essentially antitrust monopoly issues, that kind of stuff, without getting too deep into it. Tim Sweeney says that this has cost Epic about $1 billion at this point, which I don't know whether or not that's a true number, but that's a big number regardless. Ed said it's totally worth it, and that that the fact that they have been able to make enough progress that now the Epic storefront will be out on, at least in Europe, European markets on iOS, not yet in America, but they think they're getting there. But there's a European law that essentially limits Apple's control over their storefront there. And then Android everywhere, that the Epic Game Store will be available on those. There are three games that you will be able to find if you have a device that has access to Epic's new store on these mobile devices. That's Fortnite, officially back on mobile devices, which has been off for a while through all this stuff. Fall Guys, and then a mobile version of Rocket League. And so some of their bigger multiplayer titles on mobile storefronts, which in and of itself is a big enough deal. But the legal background of how they've kind of gotten there has been Epic to not try to make a pun, but it has been hard fought. And we talked about this again literally years ago, and saying, you know, like, it's a complicated issue. I don't know if we got a rooting interest in this, but it's interesting to see how it's played out. And this is an update on how it's played out up until this point.
So let's have a quick discussion that I wasn't planning on having when I saw this story, but I'm curious, we're like, I don't know, 10 years into this process. And I'm starting to wonder what Epic's end game is. Okay. Because I noticed, I click through and I get the free game every week because it's a free game.
Like, sure.
You know, and I noticed that next week, the free game on Epic is Callisto Protocol. Now, we can talk a lot about whether that's a good game or not, or what, like, how many units it sold or whatever, but it's a big game, and the you know, they've had Death Stranding on there. They gave Death Stranding away at Christmas. There's been some other really kind of big-ish titles that are showing up for free. Again, another reason we haven't had to pay for a game, because it just sort of appears. And so I'm really starting to wonder what Epic's in-game is in the gaming space. Like, I know in general, if you really want to get dark with it, they're just trying to get all of our information and sell us as the product, is what it seems like. Which is what everybody is doing, if we're being real honest.
Right.
But I'm wondering if they have a gaming-centric goal that we're not seeing here, because I'm really starting to question what the purpose is of the Epic Store. Because I bought exactly two games from Epic. I bought Midnight Suns, and I bought, season 5 of The Walking Dead, which we desperately need to finish.
Yes.
But those are the two games that I own. Everything else in the library, which is a substantial library at this point, is free games that I have gotten, that they have given me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really not overly complex. I think you hit the nail on the head, is they just want you. they want you on their storefront because then they can market to you. They can collect your information and they can sell that information and make money off of it. But they can also just have stuff that is specifically geared toward you paying some money to them directly or indirectly somewhere. And that's like, you know, Fortnite's a free game. Like that's, they make tons and tons and tons of money off of it because of, you know, all this stuff that's in the game that you can pay for and how they've gone about potentially deceptive practices on getting kids to buy stuff, cosmetic items and that kind of stuff. We don't have to get into right now. But that's they just want access. Like that access is valuable, in the service economy, right? Like we're not in a place where anybody is going to be necessarily making a ton of money off of you purchasing a game. I mean, not anybody. There's definitely exceptions to that. We're not totally out of the kind of product-based economy in video games yet. But we are moving out of it, and it is becoming service economy. And service economy is having a captive audience. And as long as they can keep us going and downloading their free stuff, they also have us going to their storefront, going to their page, yeah, going and seeing their stuff. And then they give us a free game that's an Epic game that has microtransactions in it, and you and I may not buy anything, but somebody will, and they make money off of that. And you know, like that's the kind of, that's what they get is you are the product, just like you said. That's exactly, like, we are both consumer and product in almost everything we participate in at this point in kind of modern economy. And it's weird and it feels kind of dirty, and at the same time I'm like, yeah, I understand that, and it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean it's, I don't think we were smart enough back in the day when all of this started to realize that that's what they were going for, but that's what they've been going for the whole time.
Yeah, and I mean, that's Xbox's whole game plan at this point, is to be that. It's not about selling hardware. It's not about selling physical units of games or even digital units of games. It's about having access to you, about having you on their services and you being reliant on their services to do those things you want. And then they can sell advertising. That's another thing that's coming in, you know, games more and more, is there's product placement, there's other forms of indirect advertising that they're making money off of, and like just things like that are going to be the way that games are monetized, and that we are, again, the product, and as long as we're playing fun games, I think we're probably going to go along with it.
So real quick, we've got a ton of show notes and I didn't plan to go this route, but how far away do you think we are from some sort of crash?
I don't know. It's an interesting question because we're in kind of a new era of consumerism. Like, we just don't know what this era of consumerism looks like in-game wise, in part because we don't know what's next. You know, like the kind of next transition is not seemingly, you know, in foreseeable future, that we are in this kind of space right now. I mean it's so hard to say. Like it's hard to figure out how, because I think it's more advanced on the like TV movie content side than is in the video game content side of how like these services are making any money. Like it just, like,
nobody is making any money,
like, right? And that's nobody. How sustainable is that? But at this point, it feels relatively sustainable because, like, Netflix is doing fine, it seems like.
They are.
And I don't know how. And, like, it doesn't make sense to me.
I actually went down on my service plan. It's been a year ago now. Like, I'm down to, like, $15. I was paying Netflix, like, $30 for, like, 10 years because I had the streaming and the DVDs, which
are
the way. So when I moved here, I changed, and so now I'm streaming only, and I'm kind of miffed that I'm paying for their highest streaming package, or I was paying for their highest streaming package and not getting 4K. That's yeah. One thing that I appreciate about Apple TV and Amazon and some of the other places. At least they give me the 4K content for the money that I'm giving them. But other than that, Netflix is doing fine.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I don't have an issue with the quality of their shows. Like, they have some shows that are meh, but they have some that are really good, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing is you can make a bunch of crap as long as you've got a couple of good things. And the thing, like, there's people that like the crap, you know, like I say that in a judgmental way, but there's people that like this stuff that isn't going to appeal to us in any way. And that's going to be true of the game space as well. And like, again, I can't wrap my head around how they're monetizing it to the degree of being sustainable. And I don't know that they are. Like, I don't know that we aren't on the bubble that's about to burst of it.
I
don't know that we aren't either. You know?
I don't know that it's about them being sustainable. I think it's about us as people. Can we sustain this? Because I'm looking at something like Apple TV going, this is really good. I got 3 months of this. And I've already decided when that's over, I'm at least going to pay for another month. Yeah. Because it's that good. But how long am I going to keep paying for it?
How long did you pay for satellite or cable?
Long time.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is I don't pay $80 a month for cable anymore. I pay $80 a month for 12 different streaming services, it is now. And that's perfectly sustainable. Like, I can do that forever.
The other side of this, like, and you talked about your internet service there where you live, how the price of your internet service has not changed. I had something this month that I thought I would never see. The price of my internet service went down. Like, I got my bill for this month, and they're like, it's $79.99, which is exactly what you pay. And that's what I paid when I started. I've been paying more than that.
Yeah.
And so I look on the website and it's like, they've got 2.5 gig service and they've got 5 gig service and they've got 10 gig service, which neither one of us need. We're not going to pay for, but that's why they're bringing the price down because
that's fantastic.
Cheapest, you know, both of us are on a really cheap, you know, tier for the internet service providers. I never thought I would see that happen.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just wild. So, I don't know how long it lasts, but it is where we are, and it is where the future is going. And so that's what we're going to do.
Yes. But also what we're going to do is wrap this show up because that was really impressive. Really impatient.
Let me mention a couple of things because we're obviously not going to get through everything. So nobody showed up. We'll circle back to the AI conversation because that's a whole nother really interesting conversation that we need to have that kind of ties in here. That's much longer than the time that we have left, obviously. I do want to mention just a couple of things. There's a couple of good videos. Dragon Age has a release trailer with a release date when the new Dragon Age is coming, which is Halloween, by the way.
Thing before
the end of October. Yeah.
Before you move off on that, I just wanted to mention I don't know that I'm excited about this. I watched the trailer and I was kind of like, bah! Until Claudia Black popped on the screen and I was like, oh my god, I kind of freaked out. That's not a reason to play this new game. Seriously, the trailer was kind of like, blah.
Well, yeah, I really need to see reviews on this game because so far nothing that they've shown me has gotten me excited, but the idea of Dragon Age still gets me excited.
Yes.
There's that disconnect between them, and I'm like, just maybe like it just doesn't translate in the trailers, which they're playing games that look really good in a trailer and it ended up not being very
right.
good. So. Check that one out. There's a new video talking about Zelda Echoes of the Echoes of Wisdom, which is the new Zelda game coming where you actually play as Zelda, which is good. Genius.
One thing on it is genius. The reason it's genius, I think this entire game is going to be built on gameplay.
Yes.
Like I think this entire game, the whole thing is gameplay.
Yeah. And they're taking a lot of the gameplay elements of Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom and bringing it into this top-down, you know, Link to the Past or Link's Awakening style.
Right.
Updated Link's and that's cool. Like, that feels like they show, you know, like in this video that you can get a horse and you can ride a horse around the map.
Right.
But it's not like Breath of the Wild horse riding. It's, you know, Link's Awakening, but with horse riding. Looks legit pretty cool. I'm really excited about this, and I know she is going to be really excited about this.
You're
going to
be super excited about this.
And then one last thing just to mention really quick that's sad. Just broke my heart when I saw this. Game Informer It's officially no more.
Oh, wow.
Game Informer officially dead. If you go to GameInformer.com, which you could do by going by the show notes, because I got a link to it in there. It's just there. The final level. Farewell from Game Informer. 33 years of Game Informer. Game Informer was just one of those publications. And of course, in 2024, there really isn't space for all of these publications to still exist. And so we've seen them kind of die off one by one. But Game Informer was one when we were younger that was just a monster of content. And before you could just pull up YouTube and see. Yes. Yeah. Before you could just pull up YouTube and see whatever you want. We got screenshots in Game Informer. We got information about gameplay in Game Informer and these other publications that don't exist anymore. Nintendo Power was a regular, just on and on of all of these.
We paid for all of them.
Yes. And so it's just, again, it's not surprising. It's the world that we live in, and not every one of these publications can continue on in a digital format. Game Informer did for a while, but doesn't anymore. But there is something just sad to me about these publications that I loved when I was younger, even though I don't use them at all when I'm 40, dying off.
Yeah, it makes me think about our mortality. What it makes me think about. I'm not sad that it went away, but if it's going away, that means we're going away.
Yes, yes. We are all going the way of Game Informer one way or another. Yes, so that's something to look for.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Ending on a high note, for sure. Not a ton in terms of releases. Big stuff coming up. Madden comes out this week, which I don't know if Madden's big stuff anymore, but worth mentioning because it's something still.
Right.
Black Myth Wukong, right? Is that the name?
You have that, don't you?
I do have. Well, I will have it when it releases in about a week, or I think just a couple of days. I think it's just around the corner. And so we will be talking about that because it came with my card, which is super cool, and it's about to actually release. But not just a ton of big summer releases, which there never are a ton of big summer releases, but I don't think we've missed anything significant. There's quite possibly some game I'm just totally overlooking that everybody is obsessed with right now. And I'm just so out of the loop that I'm missing that, but I don't think that's the case. I think we're just kind of in a catch up moment in video games right
what's
now.
What's crazy is there's so many games out there. I don't know if I sent it to you, but I sent it to Duff. There's a Star Trek game on Steam that we have heard nothing about it. I've never seen, but it looks really awesome. And what I'm learning is there's a zillion of those games out there that just get lost.
Yeah.
And that's what the summer is for. And unfortunately for us, it's almost over.
Yes.
So.
That's fair, but good games coming, and we're going to be playing at least as much as we can and talking about them more.
And I'm glad we actually handled this show way better than we did the last show. So I'm glad to know we haven't completely lost it.
Yes.
I will say one thing. I think that little girl is going to start making regular appearances on this show, in which case we need to get her a t-shirt or a hoodie or something. Yeah. So that she can be the mascot that I've always dreamed for the last 20 years that she would be. So yeah, that being said, it is time to wrap the show up, and I'm going to beg and plead, and I would get on my knees if I could. I'm in a wheelchair, so I can't, but I would get on my knees and tell you to call our voicemail on at 509-GAME-210, because Google is trying to take it away from us again.
Yes, they are.
I hope you sent them a text.
I did.
Because I had not called, but I will call and yell at them at some point.
Again.
But
do send us a voicemail.
Yes, call at 509-GAME-210. Jimmy Harris, I'm looking at you because you owe us a report on the con, and we have not heard from you. There are pictures up on the Facebook. That the kids have done way cooler stuff than you and I have been doing.
Yeah.
So we need to hear from them. But if you would like to talk to us, 509-GAME-210. We've also got the Facebook page. We've got the X, which I still can't.
It's Twitter.
It's growing on me. It really is growing on me. But it's the weird name. It's weird. We're there. We are paying attention. And believe it or not, unless he tells me something the second that we get off the air, this show is not going anywhere. I don't know what to tell you folks about the last month, but it just sort of is what it is.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you for hanging out.
For sure.
That being said, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This has been Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.